Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. This is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 99. That's right, I'm on the verge of the 100th episode, and on the very eve almost of the 100th episode. Anyway, this is the week of June 4th, 2010. It's Ashlyn Dave, and I'm coming at you from the Center of the Universe, Ashland, Virginia, which is Central Virginia. Great place to live, great place to raise a family, and also a great place to run. Now, I said in the last episode, the one before the rerun of the Memorial Day episode that I just put out, I would get to the emails that are all leftovers, and I'm going to do that here in just a few minutes, but I need to talk a little bit about a training run I just did on the same course that the 50-mile ultra marathon is going to be on. What I did was I rode up to Fairfax County, Northern Virginia, just outside D.C. with my friend Rodney, who's also going to be running the 50-miler next week. And, well, we didn't go with Tom because Tom is in Buffalo running the Buffalo Marathon this weekend. And I'll get a race report from him soon, hopefully. But what Rodney and I wanted to do was to go run a section of the North Face 50-mile ultra marathon course. And Richard, one of the listeners from Northern Virginia, was going to try to meet me up there. But he had, being it's a holiday weekend with Memorial Day, he had some other plans, and we never quite were able to hook up. I talked about meeting up with him over the course of the last few episodes, and we just couldn't get it worked out. But we did find, Richie, you'll be happy to know, we did find the course, and we found part of it. I think we got off course a little bit. We tried to follow the instructions in the North Face participant packet as much as we could, but the problem was it was so hot outside, all the papers got wet, and even though Roddy was carrying them in his hydration pack in a dry area. But we made it up there in less than 2 hours from Ashland, and the park had just opened at 7. It cost $5 to get in Great Falls National Park. And we parked the car. I had pretty much no trouble finding the trail, the river trail, where the race goes. It was pretty obvious that's what it was. The overlooks were just spectacular of the Potomac River. I was just so surprised that there was a view like that in Virginia of a river. I just didn't realize how spectacular it was because I'd never been up there. I really had no other reason other than I've never been that far into Fairfax. Usually we're just cutting through on the interstate, but... So we made our way up through the Great Falls area where the Great Falls aid station is going to be, and we were running the river trail and got to some of these elevations, and boy, it was hard. I didn't realize that it was going to be such a climb, and I think we do that loop around three times, and I'm not really so certain that we found the full loop because the trails weren't marked that well. I'm sure they'll be marked on race day, but just for our training run, they weren't marked. We did a total training run of 8 miles. What we did after we finished doing the mountain climbing, we decided to come down kind of the fire road, finish up the loop, and then go back past the visitor center, then head up the river on the Potomac Heritage Trail, which we did, and then we decided we wanted to try to follow the route a little bit more, and I think that's where we got off track, and we got out to some neighborhood streets that didn't seem to never end, and Rodney actually fell down on the trail at one point, hit a root, and hit the deck pretty hard. I mean, he went down pretty... I'm laughing now. It wasn't really that funny at the time, but boy, he hit pretty hard. And then we made our way back. We were able to hit the visitor center, and there were two different visitor centers, and load up on our water bottles. And it was one of those hot days where you're just dripping with perspiration and sweat, just kind of by standing still. So you can imagine running just made it that much worse. And what we did, we just did an interval run walk, walked up the real steep hills and the rocks that we had to climb. At one point, the in one of the elevation climbs, you're literally on a cliff over the river, and it was just a spectacular view. I just hope that I don't fall in. I remember seeing a sign inside one of the restrooms that said, "If you fall in, you will die." so that's how swift the river is up in that particular area of the Potomac in Virginia. So we got back to the car eventually and stopped for lunch in Lorton, Virginia on the way home. And it was great. It was good to get up there and see what the course was going to be. In some ways, I feel like I might be a little bit in over my head with the inclines because I'm not fully trained on running up so far. But I think I'm okay with the distance. So we're going to see how it all works out. And it's a 13-hour cutoff. And really, everything I've read about running your first 50-miler is really just to finish in the cutoffs. It's not to go for any specific time or anything. So I've made up a pace band for 13 hours, and I've also made one up for 11 hours because that's what I estimated. And so that way I have a kind of a frame of reference if I'm running faster than the 13-hour, much faster than the 13-hour pace. At least I'll know where the 11-hour is, and I can kind of judge accordingly. I might be getting a little ahead of myself on that, but I just wanted to have another point of reference for if I do better than the 13 hours. So that way I'll know where I'm coming in. I think it was a little bit of a rude awakening for Rodney, just about how steep these inclines are and how rocky some parts of the course are. But then when we were on another part of the course, I can't remember the name of the trail, it was just beautiful. It was almost a cool breeze in the woods. It was kind of hard to explain. A lot of it's in the shade, but it was just so humid. So we'll see how it all goes next week. I'm very much looking forward to it, and that's pretty much the training update. I think I'll do one more training run tomorrow. I've, for the nature of my job, I've got a car that I can use for work, and it's at the shop right now, and I've got a loaner, and I need to return the car before I go back to work. So I think what I'll do is take the car, the loaner car, to the shop. Or no, I'll run to the shop, which is about 4.5 miles from my house. Take my issued car from the shop to where I work, drop it off there, and then run home, which is about 6 miles. And I think I'll be okay doing that because even in the training regimen I've been following still calls for double runs on the week before the ultra. So I think I'll do that, and we'll see how it all works out. So anyway, that's the training update. Rodney, if you're listening, I appreciate you taking that ride up there with me. And Tom, I know you're not listening right now, but I know you will eventually. Hope you did well in the Buffalo Marathon, and look forward to hearing your race report. So let's get to the email bag section of the show, which we're going to get in kind of early today. And the reason for that is because these are all emails from, let's see, the earliest one looks like it's back from early May or even April 29th. Wow, so these are well overdue, and if I don't ever get to these, I might lose these people as listeners. let's get to, let's see, Chris out of San Diego, California, who has a blog, bqordie.blogspot.com. He's 46 years old, and he is totally focused on trying to qualify for Boston. He ran a marathon in 2006 in 4:49, and then this past April 17th, he ran 3:34, which is remarkable. And he needs a 3:30 to BQ for his age group. And he's got some details on his blog, which I've checked out and already pre-screened it. It's really cool. And he hails out of San Diego. So, Chris, man, appreciate it. That's bqordie.blogspot.com. Exchanged emails with him before about treadmill running, and he likes to listen to the podcast on his the new episodes during the Saturday long run. So check out his blog, and Chris, appreciate the email. Good to hear from you, and of course, hope you get that BQ so I can live vicariously through you, because I don't think I'll ever get it as slow as I go, but I certainly have a lot of respect for the people that that pursue that. So appreciate you you sending that in. Also heard from Joseph out of Syracuse, and about 2 weeks ago, he did a 21-mile training run in the morning, then Sunday he was supposed to be a 10-miler, but his legs felt so heavy, he just did 5 and then took his dogs hiking, and he said that he's been doing some double long run weekends, and he's training for his first Ultra 50K, and I'm not sure which one he's training for. I don't know which one he's training for. Joseph, send me an email back and let me know which one you're training for so I'll know. He's also doing a 20-mile trail race that's probably going to be the next to last long run that he's going to do, and then he's going to start tapering for the ultra. And I wish you all the best, man. The 50K trails are good. I'm guessing you're probably going to be doing it up in the New York area is what I would imagine. I wish you all the best. I've done 250Ks, and both of them were really hard. So it's a really long marathon, like you said in your email. I appreciate you checking in. Also heard from Christina. She's got her own blog at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. And Christina, one thing I wanted to ask you about is I was checking out your blog and I saw that you had busted your knee up, and I was wondering how that happened. It was the May 12th entry. Christina wanted to share that a nutritionist once told her that before you run, you should drink 8 to 12 ounces of water immediately after you wake up, and then 8 ounces before each meal and snack. Then you don't have to think about drinking water throughout the day. Not only are you hydrating well, but it also helps with digestion. I know for one thing, I need a lot of water, and because I just seem to sweat a whole lot. And I tell you, the S-caps, I think, helped me when I did the run up in Northern Virginia at Great Falls, because I didn't feel that total fatigue that I think I've gotten in the past, because I haven't hydrated properly with I don't know how to explain it, but the S-caps have helped. But Christina has been a long-time listener to the show, and she's got a pretty cool blog over at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com, and I'll put that in the show notes like I will with Chris's blog. She's also going to be out in D.C. later this year, in West Washington, D.C., and it's very possible we might cross paths. So if you get down to Ashland or whatever, we'll definitely put together a run and go out and hit the streets. That'd be a lot of fun. So thanks for checking in. Thanks for listening to the show. And one thing Christina did add is, because she and I had I kind of asked her if she knew that Steve Runner over at Fidipidations podcast had actually run the Boston Marathon. Apparently he did, but apparently he finished in over 6 hours and just had a very painful run. And I guess I should listen to his show. He's kind of started a lot of his podcasts and stuff a couple years back. And I know Christina is a regular listener to his show. I have not listened to his show for a while just because of time. But I was interested to know if he ran the Boston Marathon, because he always seems to get in somehow. So, Christina, thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you. I heard from Cindy over at runwithme.blogspot.com. Cindy's got a blog also that she keeps up regular. It's runwithme-cindy.blogspot.com. And she said she's been experimenting a little with the walk-run Galloway method, and actually shaved 6 minutes off her half marathon time in Ocean City, Maryland at the half marathon. Ran a 2:05, very flat course, very perfect weather. But she did have some very sad news to share in reference to a guy. She saw a runner collapse just a few feet from her. And after a few minutes, he was taken away in an ambulance. And then she actually found out when she got back home that person had died, which is just awful. Just 40 years old. It was his first half marathon. And his wife, that runner's wife, was also running in the race. And obviously, he'd already been gone by the time that she finished. And really, I agree, Cindy. It really does make you stop and think. That's a real sad memory to have with your PR in the half marathon. However, that does happen during races, and it's an awful shame when somebody collapses and dies. And only 40, I mean, that's younger than me. So that really makes me think hard about what I'm doing out there and making sure I'm taking care of myself and trying to see if I see any, if I feel any indicators that I might be having a health issue. But, you know what's funny is it's not really funny. I saw a logo on a shirt somewhere that running won't kill you, but you won't feel it coming, or running won't kill you, you'll pass out first. So that's kind of a morbid thing in reference to Cindy's story. But Cindy, I tell you, I'm sorry that you had to see that, but I do congratulate you for the PR, and it's great to hear from you. I appreciate you checking in. It's been a while since I heard from you. Also, Richard out of Northern Virginia. This is the Richard Rich that was going to help me show me the course for the 50 miler. He's recommended the Bull Run Run 50 mile ultra marathon as a real good first ultra. Has a real ultra feel to it. The people are very nice, very down to earth. That's put on by the Virginia Happy Trails Club. And but as for Rich, he is training to do a 100 miler, which is going to be in the Mohican in Ohio this June. It's June 19th and 20th, and the week of the race, the price of that race goes up to $200. So that gives you an idea of how much a 100-mile race costs as opposed to maybe a half marathon, which might be 25 or 30 bucks or 40 bucks. These 100-milers, which require all kinds of logistics, the price is expensive, and you just can't run out and knock one out every month. That can get real expensive. But he said his training's gotten him to about 75 miles a week. He's doing long run, 30-mile long run on Saturday, followed by a 15 to 16-mile run on Sunday. And Rich expressed some disbelief that he never really thought he'd be able to get to this level, but a whole year of work has paid off. And he ran the North Face Endurance Challenge last year in D.C., the one that I'm going to do next weekend. And he's given me lots of good advice about it. So, Rich, appreciate you checking in, and thanks for listening to the show. It sounds like you might be moving soon, so hopefully all that will work out for you, and you'll find a marathon wherever home you're moving to. I'm sure there'll be a hometown marathon there that you can participate in, and maybe even some ultras. I'm not sure if they have ultras where you're going, but I guess if they have marathons, there's probably some crazy people out there somewhere that have at least some 50Ks or some 50-milers. So I'll check in with you on the Mohican. That's just a couple weeks away, and hopefully you'll do just fine in that. I'm sure you will, and hopefully you'll find what you're looking for in those long endurance runs, because we're all kind of chasing something different. So I appreciate you checking in, and like I said before, Rich, I really do appreciate the advice on the North Face. It's been pretty invaluable. I've shared it with Tom and Rodney, the two guys that are going to run the race with me. Okay, we also heard from Catherine over at StuffIts.com, and she said she appreciated the review I did for StuffIts, which is something you can put in your shoes. It helps with the odor and dries the shoes out kind of real quickly. It's these like cedar-filled bags that look like feet, and they fill your shoes up, and they worked really good for me. They actually saved my shoes, and I was happy to talk about those, Catherine. Appreciate it. Also, she's doing some other work with an organization called GiveYourSoul.com, and the mission of that is to provide less fortunate men, women, and children with martyrly worn athletic shoes that they collect at race events. And I think that's a great idea. When we had the Ashland Railroad run last year, shoes were collected, and there might have been a little bit of a disconnect on whether or not those shoes were actually donated in a timely manner to somebody that can do something with them. But it sounds like GiveYourSoul.com does do something with those pretty timely, and that might be something we'd look at as part of our Green Fair for next year. I did check out the website. It's a legitimate organization that takes donations. Right now they're having some funding. So they're raising some funds to obviously keep doing that, and I would recommend checking that out. I'll put that link in the website, in my website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. If you have mildly worn shoes, certainly there's a way to get them to these people. So check out the website, Give Your Soul, that's SOLE.com, and I'll have that link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com as well. Anyway, Catherine, I appreciate you checking in, and I'll be ready for another pair of Stuffits if you want to send me some others. if you want to send me another one, that'd be great. Heard from Joe out of New England. He's running the Twin Cities Marathon, and he's going to be going off to Minnesota because his wife and daughter want to visit the Mall of America, so he's going to be doing the Twin Cities Marathon. But he lives out in New England. They have lots of marathons up there, and he also vacations in Virginia Beach just about every summer, so he hopes to do Shamrock next spring. He said it sounded like a good race from the podcast. Joe, I agree. I thoroughly enjoyed the Shamrock Marathon. Matter of fact, it was probably my best marathon experience I've ever had because of the people I ran with and the course and the finish right on the ocean, a couple cold beers at the end. you know, what else can you beat? And this time I was actually able to drink a few beers as opposed to when I finished the Outer Banks Marathon. I think I drank one beer and I started vomiting in front of people. So I definitely had a much better experience. And I found that if I slow down some and just kind of enjoy it more, I'm able to enjoy the after the race and not be a medical issue. So, yeah, definitely do Shamrock. I highly recommend it. And maybe I'll cross paths with you someday down there. If I do it again, that'd be good. Also heard from Peter out of New Zealand. Sorry, and he is finally a marathoner. He ran the which one did you run, man? Oh, can't see it in the email, but he ran one over in New Zealand, and he settled into a very nice 9:30 pace, and he did a 9:1, and was trying to keep up with the 4:30 pace group, and he was, because the guy was wearing pink balloons. Finally, they disappeared ahead, but he soon caught up with them as he did his running and walking. And then he hooked in with the guy from South Africa who was doing 9:1, but he kind of gotten out of kilter with his watch. So they joined him. Oh, he did the Rotorua Marathon in New Zealand. And anyway, the Galloway method was really working, and it prevented anything major happening to him. And about mile 22, he felt a little more tired, but he never felt like stopping or even walking. He actually started running mostly at that point, and came in on an incredible 4 hours, 27 minutes finishing time, which Peter is, man, that's right up my alley. I would love to be able to have a 4:27. That'd be awesome. And anyway, he's doing a half coming up. He already did that on May 23rd, and then he's doing another marathon at the end of October, which is going to be the Auckland City Marathon. It's AUCKLAND Marathon, and that's in New Zealand. So, Peter, thanks for checking in. He's one of my international listeners, and I think it's really cool to have somebody listening from New Zealand, and I've actually heard from people all over the world over the last couple of years that I've been doing this show. And, you know, I'm going to send out put out another call out for if you want to send in an audio clip and have your audio clip part of the 100th episode, make sure you do that right away at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And I'll edit that for content and put it in the 100th episode, which has the potential to be pretty long because I'm going to be doing my 50-mile race report. Longest distance I've ever run, I'm going to have my race report in the 100th episode. So everything was just timed really good. And anyway, Peter, nice to hear from you. Thanks for checking in, and hope you continue to enjoy the podcast. Also got some comments on the website. Let me see if I can pull those up. Let's see here. How do I get to those? Yeah, I kind of missed those because sometimes what happens is when people leave the comments on the website, I don't always get those right away in an email. And turns out some of them were left for some friends of mine. So let's go ahead and pull those up. And these are going to be from the Monster 30 Miler, episode number 98. And first one was from Schnitzel. And he was commenting on the movie Running on the Sun. He said Netflix has it. So you can rent that through Netflix. You don't have to buy it at all. You can rent it. And he said he's ordered that. So he'll be seeing that. So I'll be interested in your comments on that, Schnitzel. I also heard from Howard. Howard said, and this is actually a friend of mine from college, a fraternity brother. He ran the North Face Endurance Challenge in Madison, Wisconsin last October. He said it was a very organized race. The trail was clearly marked, excellent aid stations. It was a scenic trail. And he highly recommends the series because you really get what you pay for. And I just want to add that the whole thing was $90, which is very affordable. And you do get a whole bunch of swag. And a meal at the end if you want it. So hopefully that's a good meal and not, you know, just somebody throwing some nasty-ass hamburgers on a grill and then, you know, offering that out to you. I mean, the North Face is a reputable company. They put on these events and got one person, actually more than one now if you count Richard and Howard have now both said that it's a worthwhile event, well put on. And so I'm definitely looking forward to it. So I appreciate you checking in, Howard. Good to hear from you. Let's see. Also heard from Crash. And he said that he was reading the most recent running times. And I used to read that. My dad used to give me some old copies of that. And anyway, Crash said there was a clip that stuck out about kind of why we do what we do, and it was an interview with Charlie Engle. And if you don't know who Charlie Engle is, he's one of the guys that ran across the Sahara Desert, and I think it took him 80 plus days to do it. He was running like 40 to 50 miles a day. There's a movie about it called Running the Sahara. And Charlie Engle is an extremely driven man. If you can just watch the movie and tell how driven he is, extremely motivated, and he does some motivational speaking. He also runs the Western States 100 miler. Anyway, Charlie once said he was talking to a multiple Boston Marathon finisher, and he asked the guy, when you were doing your first marathon, were you scared that you might not finish? And the Boston Marathoner said, of course, I was scared to death. Charlie then asked him, well, now when you run your marathons, are you afraid that you might not finish? And the Boston Marathoner said, without hesitating, said, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll finish. So apparently that's whatever Charlie's point was being made. Crash, I think I might have missed something there. But anyway, that really hit home with Crash. And you're right. Like, for when I'm doing this 50-miler, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to finish, because anything can happen. I mean, it's 50 miles. But if I do make it, and I do, if I ever do it again someday, I'm pretty sure I'll finish, because, I've been there once already. So anyway, it's really nice that you guys checked in with the comments, and I think I've got a few more emails I'm going to check. What I'm going to do right now is go check a couple more emails just so I can clear out the inbox, and I'll be right back. All right, we're back, and my computer is really, really slow right now, so what I'm trying to figure out is how I'm going to do these. I heard from David McGachran, and he's wishing me luck on the upcoming 50-miler. So, David, I appreciate you checking in. I appreciate that very much. It's nice to hear from you, and I know that trying to remember the last conversation we had on email. I think you're local, so anyway, it's nice to hear from you. I also heard from Rick, and Rick had a really good email that I kind of want to share. Actually, I want to share a little bit of this. Rick said he's a longtime listener, and he ran his first 50-miler back in April at the Bull Run 50-miler, which is in Clifton, Virginia. And I had referenced this race earlier. This is one that Rich did, and he said it's a really, really good race. It's done by the Virginia Happy Trails Running Club. Anyway, he said when I talked about trying to explain to other people why people do things like ultras or run long, it really struck a chord with him. And it's hard for some people who can't comprehend even running 1 mile, so why they can't understand why we'd run 50. And he said he's had people tell him he's ruining his joints, so he needs hip surgery, he'd have a heart attack. And he said most of the people saying this haven't run a mile since high school, have no clue what running is about. And some of his running friends don't understand either. They think a marathon is punishment enough, so why do two of them back-to-back? And even his own mother told him don't ever do that again when he ran one. He's 54 years old, and his mother yelled at him like he was a 7-year-old. So he shared one thing that happened to him. He was doing a 50-miler, and he was just wanting to make the cutoffs as well. And he said that during the run, after the 28-mile mark, he checked his watch and his pace chart, and he thought he was going to miss the cutoff for the 32-mile aid station. And he was nearly in tears of the thought of having run this far and unable to finish. And then 10 minutes later, he realized he had made a mistake and misread the watch or the pace chart. And he was actually an hour and a half ahead of the cutoff. And he said he knew at that point that nothing was going to stop him from finishing. And he said it's truly an experience that will change you. And he did tell me that I sounded like I was well prepared. So anyway, I appreciate the well wishes, Rick. And Rick made a video of the Bull Run 50 that he put a link to. And I don't know how to link that link to my... What I'll do is I'm going to link to this video from... on ashlanddave.podbean.com. So it's actually pretty cool. And Rick, I guess you'll think that's okay since you put it on YouTube. So I'm going to actually skip, save that email, and I'll come back to that one later. And let's see, I'm listening to Pandora on the other channel here, and it's got some Miley Cyrus commercial, which I'm not really interested in. I'm Okay, now we got some bluegrass coming back on. I'm really trying to do too many things here at one time, and it's probably showing in my podcast. So sorry about that. If you're a longtime listener, I'm really want to get this thing in before I run the 50. I also heard from Rich out of the Woodlands, Texas. He says he's still alive, still running, still listening, and I'm hoping to get that audio clip from you, Rich, so please send that in, and looking forward to hearing from you right away. Send that in right away, and I'll make sure I include that in the show. And like I said earlier, that goes for everybody. If you want to send in an audio clip just to commemorate the 100th episode, if you've been a long-time listener, it doesn't have to be anything much, just a howdy-do or whatever. Just get out a digital recorder or whatever you have and record it and send it to me. I can convert it to MP3, so it's not a problem. Also heard from Dirt Dog. Got some real good advice from him for the 50-miler. Mike, I appreciate it, man, especially your last paragraph where you talked about believing in what you can do and getting to that starting line and getting to the finish line and having fun. So I appreciate the advice more than you know. I've actually used some of your advice in here, and it's not really appropriate to share everything you said with everybody in the audience, but I appreciate you taking the time to send that email in. In fact, I'm going to save that and read that again before I run. Let's see, I've got, who else have I heard from here? Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time to send that in. Mike's going to be doing another 100-miler this year, Burning River, it looks like, and you can listen to his over at Dirt Dogs Podcast. That's D-A-W-G. Also heard from the Ultra Dad, and he liked episode number 97, and he just wanted to drop me a note and wish me luck on the 50-miler. He's done at least one 50-miler, probably more than that. And he's back after 14 months of a hiatus. He's back to podcasting, the Ultra Dad Podcast. Got to check it out. He had a quick following. He had a lot bigger following than I had when he kind of dropped off the face of the earth there for a little bit when he took care of some family issues. He's got a large family, and I believe he adopted another child. So I'm glad you're back, Rob. Blue, you need to chill. All right, let's go ahead and pause this. I think I got groceries I got to take in the house. All right, well, that's all the emails. And I was still able to squeak out a show about 30 minutes, which was pretty cool. Appreciate everybody that sends in the emails. And I'm sorry it took me so long to get talk about them on the show. I usually email back if you send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'll send you one back, and I'll comment it on the show. At some point in time, and sometimes I just get too many, which I'm not complaining, but it's sometimes hard to get to them in the show, and you got to be in the right frame of mind to talk for 30 minutes. It's not something that comes naturally to me. I'm always seem to be working on it. Anyway, next up is obviously the North Face Endurance Challenge 50-miler, June 5th, 2010, and that's in Sterling, Virginia, along the Potomac River. And that will be the longest running event I will have ever done in my whole life. So that's a very big day. The following weekend, I'm actually going to be helping out some fellow runners. Crash and John, two members of Team Incognito, have managed to talk me into going with them to do the Hatfield-McCoy Marathon, but I will not be doing it. They are. But what they need is someone then to drive them from the marathon, which is in West Virginia. It's actually, if you do it 2 years, you can get both states. It goes from West Virginia into Kentucky, or vice versa. I'm not sure. It actually spans two states. We're going to leave that marathon and then drive to Western Kentucky, where they're going to do an event, a 10-hour endurance event called Run Under the Stars, which is I plan to camp. The reason they needed me was essentially to drive them home the next day, because they'll be up all night running. And I didn't want to miss this. I mean, I'm going to have my camera ready. I'm going to make a whole movie out of this thing. And this ought to be a lot of fun. Basically, they just needed me to drive, and I didn't want to pass up the opportunity to spend a couple days with those guys, because they've been doing some incredible running here lately. And it's something I share with them, so I'm looking forward to kind of a little bit of a guy's road trip. And if you can just imagine this, or look up Run Under the Stars, Google that and you'll see what the race is. What it is a huge horse track with no horses on it, lots of grounds, and it's a 10-hour endurance event with everybody running around the track, this large horse track, and you can just camp pretty much wherever you want. And they don't need me to crew for them or anything like that, because they just need me to drive them home the next day, which is about a 10-hour drive from Western Kentucky back to the Richmond, Virginia area, because they're going to be up all night. I think I already said that. So that's why they're needed, but I just don't want to miss it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I think it'd be a lot of fun if we got one more Team Incognito member to go along with us, John King, to make that a full the full complement of Ryan. I don't think we can. I tell you what, we'll just leave it at the three of us. that'd be too many guys in the back of that car. So anyway, hopefully you guys are listening, and I'll be right there with you. I got cleared from the wife; she's not going. So she'll stay home and protect the homestead. So anyway, that's it for this week. I'll be back next time with a episode 100. I'll have a full race report from the 50-mile Ultra Marathon North Face Endurance Challenge. Hopefully I will have a finishing report, not a DNF. I'm going to keep my head down and do the best I can, and we'll see how it all turns out. And I'll be back then. So anyway, email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com with any comments about the show. And make sure you check out the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com for all the links that I'm going to put in there. I'm going to have probably about 8 or 9 links for this week. And we'll check it out from there. So y'all have a good week. Get your runs in. I'll be back. And this is Ashland Dave reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.